Welcome to the Bethany Hour. Stay tuned as we look into the book of Acts.
Your love is like radiant diamonds bursting inside us. We cannot contain. Your love will surely come find us like blazing wildfire, singing your name. God of mercy, sweet love of mine, I have surrendered to your design. May this offering stretch across the skies, these hallelujahs be multiplied. Your love will surely come find us like blazing wildfire, singing your name. God of mercy, sweet love of mine, I have surrendered to your design.
This edition of the Bethany Hour. Thank you for joining with us as we look to Scripture for help and direction as we follow Jesus Christ. Pastor Adams will return in just a moment. Bethany Assembly of God is located in Agawam, Massachusetts at the corner of Main Street and Route 57. Our Sunday services are at 9 a.m. for our traditional service and 11 a.m. for our contemporary service. Our midweek service on Wednesday includes programs and services for all age groups. Log on to our website at bethany-ag.org for more information about these and other services.
Welcome to the Bethany Hour. Once again, Pastor Adams and Pastor Reed, we have been enjoying our jaunt through the book of Acts. Luke wrote the book of Acts. Luke talked about the works of Jesus, talked about his miracles. Now he's going to show how that same Christ who went away sent the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's going to begin to work in the disciples. And the Holy Spirit is working in his church today. So the acts that Jesus completed are being completed now through the acts of his disciples.
Yeah, you know, you think about what Luke wrote in his gospel. He talked about the Father. He talked about the Son. He talked about the Holy Spirit. So we have the triune God, just something that is, you know, mind-boggling to us that they're three in one, and he's an amazing God. He's an omnipotent God, an omniscient God. And here he says a part of that God, the Godhead, if you will, he's gonna be immersing people. He's going to be filling people and flowing through people and working through people. And by faith, if you open yourself up to the Lord Jesus Christ, he's going to give you the gift from the Father, which is the Holy Spirit.
Right. A lot of people have trouble with the Trinity. You know, they've been using, you can use a lot of different illustrations of the Trinity, but they break down after a while. But the Trinity, you know, you can look at water. Water is liquid. It also can be frozen. It also can be steam. So there's three parts. It's still water, but there's three parts. But so we say that it's Father, Son, Holy Spirit. There's a unity in them. There are persons, but there's three in one. And a lot of people have very challenging times trying to understand that. But in the Bible, there are Old Testament, New Testament passages that really talk about the three, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. There are pluralities in the Godhead that are spoken about in the Hebrew. And so you can find, if you look for it, but the idea that God is one, it's hard for people to wrap their mind around it. I guess some people also say, well, I am a father, I'm also a son, and I guess I can be a grandfather too. Yep. So, I mean, you know, there's a part, but every illustration breaks down. But the idea of the Trinity has been part of the declaration of the gospel from the very beginning.
From the very beginning. I think, you know, in the beginning, God, I think the word for God in the Hebrew language, like you said, had a plural meaning.
Right.
So when they heard that in Hebrew, they understood that it was a plurality, but they also understood that the Lord is one. So there was a singularity and a plurality.
Yeah. So here it says in verse number 6 of Acts chapter 1, we're picking it up, and says, so when they met together, this is talking about the disciples, and Jesus gave them a command to wait in Jerusalem until they received the promise that the Father said he was going to send to them, and that's the baptism in the Holy Spirit, because he said John baptized with water, but the Father's going to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. And so the disciples are meeting together, and they ask Jesus this question: Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Do you see where their minds are?
Yeah.
He says, he's talking to them about the kingdom of God. He's talking to them really about a ministry that they're going to have to reach the world with this gospel message. But their mind is still caught in this trap that's there, that the kingdom of Israel is going to be restored.
Yeah, 40 days, if you go back to one of the previous verses, 40 days he talked to them about the kingdom of God.
Not the kingdom of Israel.
Not the kingdom of Israel. Not the political kingdom. Here's the plan to take out the Roman emperor. No, he's not talking about that. He says, I'm talking to you about the kingdom of God and what's happening there. But they kept going back, so when are you going to set up your kingdom, though?
And I have a feeling that actually, when you go to Israel, Israel's are very proud people. And I think that they have this concept also here, that this is the key, is that this is going to be the kingdom of Israel. It's going to return to its original glory of the days of Solomon. And they have this idea. They have got to get beyond that and to see that it is about the kingdom of God. There is a redemptive part of Israel that the world needs to recognize, and that's Jesus was an Israelite. He was Jewish, and he did bring salvation. He was the actual person who brought salvation to the world. So Israel has a great part to play, but we have to remember, we pray for Israel all the time, but the truth is, it really is about the kingdom of God.
You know, they were looking for David, the lineage of David to come to restore the kingdom. They had been, you know, banished by the previous empires, Assyria and Babylon. They had been thrown out of their land. They had been restored back to the land. And so they're thinking, okay, well, God's going to restore us. And then the Romans sweep in, the Greeks come in, and then the Romans come in and all this. And so they're being, you know, ruled again by another foreign land. And so they're sitting here, when is the kingdom going to be set up to where we can rule and, you know, reign and rule as God wants us to be? And so I think it was that mindset that just kept coming back to them, that that was their focal point, not realizing really the work that Jesus did for all humanity to be able to live in the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, to be taken out of the kingdom, the dominion of darkness, Paul calls it, and to be brought into the kingdom of God. They were still a little slow to recognize that.
We generally like to compartmentalize things. It's like in America, I think, today. If you look at Democrats and Republicans, okay, so the Democrats are thinking now, when are we going to have the kingdom of the Democrats restored?
Right.
You're
exactly right.
Right now, we have the kingdom of the Republicans and the kingdom of the Democrats. They are not cooperating at all. All they're saying is, when are we going to have the restoration of the kingdom of the Democrats?
Yeah.
And so I think it's nothing new under the sun that we have here. Jesus really talked about the kingdom of God. And so there are some people that are talking about, okay, what about America? Shouldn't America be, you know, we have a president that says, let's make America first. Democrats are saying, no, Democrats are first. Republicans saying Republicans are first. Well, who's talking about America first?
Right.
That's a simple illustration of what's happening here, where they're thinking the kingdom of Israel. And God's got a bigger plan. He's talking about the kingdom of God.
He's got kings and kingdoms in the palm of his hands.
Yeah.
You read the Old Testament. He raised up leaders, put down leaders, and utilized pagan rulers to rebuild the city of Jerusalem even. You know, I mean, he's got all this stuff worked out, and they need to get their eyes open, and it happens, and we'll see when it happens in just a little bit.
Well, but we all want to know when it's going to happen.
Right.
I mean, even today, we want to know when everything's going to happen.
That's
it's just
true.
Something that we want, because we wear watches.
Yeah.
You know, what time is
exactly.
it?
Exactly.
When is this going to happen?
When is it going to happen?
And we all want to know that, you know, and so that's what they're asking him, and he says to them, Jesus says, it's not for you to know.
Oh, come on.
Don't tell him. Not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority.
Yeah.
So nobody likes to hear, it's not for you to know.
Yeah.
I mean, there are things, remember, you know, you see somebody who is with the FBI or something and say, well, I can't tell you or I'd have to kill you.
I have to kill you. It's on a need-to-know basis.
It's on a need-to-know
basis. And you don't need to know.
Yeah. Nobody wants to hear that.
Yeah.
We all want to know.
Yeah.
And so the disciples really want to know. And I don't know if anybody any wiser that I've ever read about or anyone, but here he doesn't even say, I can't even tell you. It's just, here, the Father, he's the only one that knows.
Yeah.
He's the only one that knows. I don't even know. I'm not going to tell you that I know because I don't. Father knows.
Isn't that interesting? He puts it back on the Father. He says, I can't tell you. Because it's up to God, the Father.
Think about his life on the earth, when we read back in the book of Luke, Jesus said, I can do nothing of myself.
Right.
The only thing I can do is what my Father tells me to do. And here he's doing the same thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. My Father's going to tell me when the time the Father says go, go.
Yeah.
And he's going to come on a white horse. He's going to come with an army of heaven. And it's going to be an all-out war against the enemy.
Right.
But he doesn't know the time.
Don't know the time or the dates.
Yeah.
And he's not going to tell us.
He's not going to tell us. But here's the cool part about it in verse number 8. But you will receive power. Now, that's what they're looking for, power. They want power to overcome the Romans. They want power to do all those good things that they're looking for. But he says, you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses. Now, see, now here, the power's coming for a purpose. That's one of the challenges we all face.
Yeah.
We want the power to show how great we are. We want the power to do what we want to do.
Yeah.
But here he says, no, the power's going to come so that you will be my witnesses. Where? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. And listen, you're not going to want to go there. but the other parts.
To the ends of the earth.
ends of the earth.
Yeah.
I mean, I just absolutely am truly aghast and amazed at how just one little thought, Jesus can expand it so that they can't even grasp nor understand what he's trying to say.
You know, because most of these guys, they
never
haven't
left.
You know, hadn't gone more than 25, 30 miles from their hometown. You know, they're not going to anywhere outside of Israel.
No.
You know, Jerusalem, they'd go down there
for the holidays.
For the holidays, and then they'd go back to Galilee, and that's where they hung out.
Yeah.
You know, they may go to the seashore. I doubt it, you know, but they were on the seashore of the Sea of Galilee. They weren't going over to the Mediterranean.
Right, probably never went over there.
And so when he said, you're going to be my witnesses, you're going to have power. I want to go back to that power thing in just a minute, but he says, you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. Nobody goes to Samaria. That's like the dregs of the earth. We're not going to Samaria.
They don't like the Samaritans. They intermarried.
Yeah, you know, so they're thinking in their head, did he just say Samaria?
Can't be Samaria.
Maybe he said South Judea or something. I don't know, Samaria. And then he said, to the ends of the earth, and they're thinking to themselves, he wants me to go to Egypt? Yeah, all the way down to Egypt?
Forget it.
You know, or what? And it's amazing. Like you said, Jesus takes these little things and
he just expands it.
Expands it. But the whole power thing is they were asking about the kingdom of God. He says, you're going to get power. You want power? You want the kingdom restored. You think that's power? He says, let me tell you about the power you're going to get that goes beyond Israel. He says it's going to the ends of the earth. It just hit me when you said that this power that you get as my disciples is not just going to touch Israel, but it's going to expand all around the globe, and you're going to be a vibrant part of that.
And I'm not sure if people really understand the expansiveness of the kingdom of God, because when you receive the kingdom of God in your life, you think, oh, it's only going to affect me. It's only going to change my life. But it's expansive. It not only changes your life, but it changes your partner's life. It changes your children's lives. It begins to change friends' lives. And before you know it, you're going places, doing things that you would never, ever, ever, ever think of doing yourself. It's just, it's expansive.
Yeah.
And that's one thing about the kingdom. And I can only imagine that when Christ returns and we're changed, how expansive is that going to be for our whole being?
Yeah.
In everything, like you mentioned before, that God has planned for us. What are we going to be doing with new bodies, with this creative abilities now, with 100% of our abilities, and God totally taking away this sin that has pulled us downward? The expansiveness of the gospel is just, it's unthinkable.
It is. And, you know, they're thinking about, let us protect our borders, let us be xenophobic, if you will, and let's just focus on Israel.
And
the little landmass that's called
it.
Israel. And he's saying, I'm going to give you power
over everything,
over the whole earth, to the ends of the earth,
demons.
You're going to have power.
Yeah,
that will cause you to be my witness. That and the Greek word for witness there is transliterated later on, became the word for martyr. I think it still had that word.
True.
You know, had that. So for them they started giving their lives for the church, and they thought it was the greatest thing since sliced bread. You know, and they had the power to do that. And it's just amazing. What God did when this power hit them, when the Holy Spirit filled them and started flowing through them, it turned the world upside down.
It did. And I find that that's what happens in people's lives, because when the Holy Spirit comes into their life, all of a sudden now, it is Christ himself that is within them. And when Jesus Christ is within you, all of a sudden, the way you see things, perceive things, the way you are able to respond to things differs completely from where you were before.
Yeah.
You actually do become a new creation. You're brand new creation, thinking differently, acting differently, and all of a sudden it changes, and people see that change. Whether they recognize it's Jesus or not, that really depends upon whether they're willing to change, whether they're willing to come to an understanding. Because when they also see the change in you, and then they themselves accept the change that came from Jesus, then all of a sudden they are now expanded, and their understanding of things begin to change, and it affects the world.
Oh,
it affects everything.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's a simple message of Jesus Christ, but it's
God.
It's that message that connects you to God,
yeah.
And that can connection piece to God, it takes us back to the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve had this relationship with God, and they walked and talked with him and communed with him, and Jesus is restoring that to us here through the Holy Spirit.
He is. And I like what you mentioned there, because on Sunday I mentioned the fact that oftentimes, because we are sinners, oftentimes the first thing that we hear is a different voice. God said to Adam, he said, who told you you were naked? I love that thought. Who told you you were naked? You know, who have you been listening to right now? If you listen to me, you guys were naked a long time before. It didn't bother you a bit because it's not a big deal. But when you start listening to the wrong voice, all of a sudden, who tells you that you're naked? Who tells you that you can't succeed? Who tells you that you're going to always be poor? Who tells you that you're always going to be sick? Who tells you all these things in your life? You're going to be like your brother, your mother, your sister. You're never going to turn out well. Who told you those things? Who are you listening to?
Yeah, you know, there's that, like I said, there's the dominion of darkness.
That's it.
And Satan whispers in our ear. Sometimes he's yelling in our ear all the time that you're a loser, you're nothing, you're a bum.
Exactly.
And God is saying, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly, and here's the power that's available to you. Who are you listening to?
Yeah. And that's what Jesus says. Now here, I'm going to send you to be my witnesses, because you need to go and spread this message that you're no longer under this fear and terror of Satan, but you are free now. God can come into your life and you can become changed and a new person, and you need to spread that message.
Yeah, the power of Satan has been defeated through the person and work of Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit within us will remind us of that and illuminate that and reveal that to us so that we can walk by faith and face whatever challenges come our way.
And see, this, what we're talking about here, what Jesus is talking about, is what we call the truth. Mm-hmm. This is the truth. There are lies that come, but this is the truth. The truth here is what you're to be a witness to. The truth is that you can be set free, that the work that God does in your heart can change you, and you can have a future. You can have a destiny, and it is the truth that comes through the Spirit. That's why he says you must worship in spirit and in truth. The Spirit brings that truth to your life. The enemy will come and he'll bring you lies. And if you live by lies, you're going to end up living on the wrong side of this globe.
Yeah, and you don't want to be there.
You don't want to be there. You know, this is Pastor Adams and Pastor Reed. We have a wonderful Thanksgiving season coming up. If you are in the area, we'd love to have you stop by one of our services. If you need to be encouraged, if you need to come and give thanks to God, this is a great place to do it.
Amen. Be here at 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings for our traditional service, 11 o'clock for our contemporary service. Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, is a great midweek Bible study.
Love to see you. Have a great day.